Well, good morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Had a beautiful day yesterday. Hope everybody got a chance to get out in the yard and soak up the sunshine and the bright blue skies we had yesterday. Oh, it was a great day, wasn't it? I want to say good morning to the people that may be logging in online to join the service this morning. I want to tell the church I am so thankful to be here this morning, an opportunity to bring you God's Word and the message this morning. I was excited all week to be able to be here, so thank you from the bottom of my heart. If you don't mind, I know we already prayed, but I feel led to pray again, if you don't mind. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your house, for all the ones that came out this morning. God, just thank you for so much this opportunity that we have to meet without fear and without persecution, Lord. We live in a country where we're free. God, I pray that you open our hearts this morning to this message. God, I pray if anybody here that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, God, I pray they will make that decision today. Our time is running short. Today is the day of salvation. And we all know we're not promised another day on this earth. God, just be with me as I bring your word this morning. God, I pray that you just use me as your vessel. And God, I pray this message to be convicting this morning. God, just thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice. And his precious blood he shed for each and every one of us. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you haven't noticed, or even if you don't care, it's the third Sunday of the new year, 2023. Where has time gone? You know, I know pastors all over have preached some variation of a new year's sermon already, but I want to ask, now, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to be honest now. Remember, we're in church, okay? Amen? How many of you have already failed or given up on those resolutions or commitments? You don't have to raise your hands. I will. How many of you are still on that diet that you said you was going to begin at the end of the first of the year? How many of you are still exercising or walking on that brand new treadmill you bought or got for Christmas? We have one. It's used for a clothes rack, right by the ironing board. The so-called experts and researchers say about the second weekend of January is when most people abandon their New Year's resolutions. Well, I have to be honest with you, I did make one New Year resolution. I believe I can keep it all year. I'm doing good so far. And that resolution is to eat more and exercise less. Amen? Everybody on board with that one? Yeah, well, thank you. Hey, men cook some mean breakfast on Thursday morning, men's prayer group. You know, I know that all of you have heard many times about, you know, top five, top ten list of popular resolutions. And, yeah, I saw some eyes roll there when I said that. And I want to ask you to just bear with me. I don't want to lose you the first 10 minutes of the sermon. You know, I'm easing to the meat of the message. And I promise this is going to go somewhere, okay? The top 10 New Year resolutions is spend more time with family and friends. Get more fit. Not me. Tame the bulge. Quit smoking. Enjoy life more. Quit drinking. Get out of debt. Learn something new. Help others. And get organized. But did you notice something about those top 10 lists that you see and hear about? The top 10 resolutions? There's nothing to do about spiritual improvement. Nothing to do with your Christian journey. Or that God was even included in any of those. That's the way it is with many people. They don't include God in the picture of their lives. If they do, it's always secondary or way on down their list of priorities, if at all. You know, God should not only be included, but He should be the foremost in every aspect of our lives, including marriage, family, children, work, play, pleasure, church, and our commitments. So So this morning I want us to look at a few commitments that we can make to help us live a life that God desires for us to have. A life of joy, a life of peace, contentment, love for others, and the list can keep going on and on. The title of the sermon today is Resolve to Commit. Now that word resolve is to decide firmly on a course of action. To decide firmly on a course of action. Commit is to act voluntarily, taking on and fulfilling obligations. So this morning I challenge you to decide firmly to act and follow through with commitments we're going to make this morning. These are not the kind of commitments that you may hear from Dr. Phil or Oprah or any celebrity, or certainly not from those ladies on The View. All right, if you watch that show, meet me after church. Or any from a self-help book that you might get off Amazon or from the Lifeway store. But from only the greatest manual for life that has ever been published and distributed, and that book is from our holy God and His living, breathing Word. If you follow God, be committed to Him, and include Him in everything that you are trying to do in this life, in this new year, 2023, it could be the life of your change spiritually. Now, I'm going to try to get through these quickly. I can see a clock, but I don't have my glasses on, so I can't tell the time. But you know, everyone tries to put a time limit on preachers for some reason. There's normally clocks hanging everywhere so the preacher will see it's close to lunchtime. I preached in one church, it had three clocks hanging in the sanctuary. So, and my wife reminds me of that quite often. So, and I had the privilege of bringing the devotional for the men's breakfast this month, and I was given a time limit there of only 2 or 3 minutes. So what's up with all that? Amen. Priorities, right? Now, I promise you, I'll get you out before supper time, okay? Let's look at the first commitment. Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 19. The first commitment is forget your failures. In verse 18, it says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. In the first part of 19, it says, behold, I am doing a new thing. And we all just experienced some very unprecedented and very challenging times the past couple of years, starting with 2020 with the pandemic, when the whole world came to a screeching halt. Everything was just shut down, restaurants, businesses, our schools. You couldn't even step foot into healthcare clinics or even hospitals, even churches. Then the chaos and the violence that erupted, and now we're experiencing the hard economic times with inflation and recession soon to be here. Now people are discussing canceling the Easter egg hunt because of the price of eggs. Can you believe that? I don't know about you, but I would certainly like to forget all about that and move on. But in the verse I just read out of Isaiah 43, God gets personal. Many of us here this morning have made many mistakes in our lives as Christians. We have experienced many setbacks and failures. We may have failed as a parent. We may have failed as a son or a daughter, a husband or a wife, as a boss or an employee, a Sunday school teacher, and yes, even as a pastor or a preacher. Sometimes we allow these past failures to enslave us to the point that we never enjoy the full Christian life that God has given us to enjoy. The good news is God says, I want you to have a fresh start in life. I want you to have a new beginning. He is doing something new in your life. Aren't you glad this morning that God wants to do something new in your life? Doesn't it make you excited to know that God desires to give you a fresh start, a new beginning? Now, I don't know about you, but He gives me a gracious enough to give me a fresh start every day. Because I fail Him every day. This morning, the good news is according to Isaiah 43:18, the Lord says, forget about what has happened before. He says, forget about the former things. Do not dwell in the past. It's over. Those chapters in your book of life is closed. Look at the new things I'm going to do, he says. This new year is a good time to stop being chained to our past failures. Never be a prisoner of your past. It was just a lesson, not a life sentence, as the saying goes. We need to understand that God is far more interested in our future than He is in our past. Because if you are born again, our future is quite promising. We get to spend eternity in heaven with our Lord Jesus. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." But then He goes on to tell us that there's an adversary called the devil that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, some people think that God is stuck in our past, that He always wants to remind us of the things that we have done wrong or things we failed Him. No, that's Satan who is doing that. That is Satan who is constantly reminding you of your past. He wants to keep you there and make you as miserable as he can. The devil will remind us of our past to keep us from enjoying the life that God has for us to live. The devil does not want you to have a fresh start in life. He wants to keep you in the past. I want to give you a couple more verses that are not included in the overhead. If you want to write them down or write them in your margins, it's Hebrews 8:12. "For I will be merciful toward your iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." Hebrews 10:17. "I will remember their sins and their lawlessness deeds no more." Isaiah 43:25. "I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Maybe this morning you feel that you have made so many mistakes, that you have failed God so many times, and you have too much sin in your life that God doesn't want anything to do with you anymore. You feel that you have no future with God. The good news, God is saying, it's not over. I have plans for your life. It is never too late for God. He says, "I'm about to do something new for you if you come to me." Jesus Christ died on that bloody cross of Calvary so that we could be forgiving of our past. Church, no one is too dirty to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And at the end of this service, you will have the opportunity to come if you feel the need to settle things with God or to find help to get past your past. Not only should you resolve to commit to forget your failures, but the second commitment is give up your grudges. Some of you looked up. This one get your attention? I know someone may be out there saying now, "Preacher, you don't have to get personal." But it is personal. I want you to listen to these words from the book of Colossians and Ephesians, because in them you'll hear about the second commitment. Colossians 3:13, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you almost must forgive." And Ephesians 4:32 it says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Did you catch that? God is telling us to give up our grudges. I didn't take it. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't a recommendation. He said, just do it. He said, forgive. A grudge is a deep, ongoing resentment that we cultivate in our hearts against someone else. A grudge is an unforgiving spirit that leads us to an unforgiving attitude and unforgiving actions. Pretty deep, isn't it? Grudges destroy marriages, they break up families, they ruin friendship, they can defile your testimony. And grudges can and has split churches before. Let's be honest enough to admit that one of the problems of the church in general is probably Christian grudges against each other. I want to tell you this morning that if you know you're holding a grudge against someone, God is telling you to give it up. Grudges are not just destructive, they're also self-destructive. destructive. When you hold a grudge against someone, you normally hurt yourself, perhaps more than you hurt the other person by holding it against them. And when I was looking up illustrations for this point, I came across this one. It says a man was killed by a bomb that he received in the mail. And then later, a couple committed suicide a week later. It turned out that this couple who had committed suicide had sent the bomb because of a grudge that the man had against his intended victim that stretched all the way back to school. Ultimately, the man's grudge destroyed his victim's life and did destroy him and his wife's life too. Make no mistake about it, if you keep holding on to a grudge, then it will eventually destroy you. If not physically, certainly emotionally and spiritually. It will make you a bitter and sad person. The book of Job in chapter 21 describes people who have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. Is that the way you want to live and be remembered by? As a sad and bitter person? Do you remember that parable that Jesus told about the servant who was forgiven a huge debt by the king and then refused to forgive someone else a tiny, small amount? Jesus said his unforgiving spirit landed him in prison. God says to you in His Word, don't sentence yourself to prison. Set yourself free. Give up your grudges and forgive each other for whatever you may hold against them. He isn't asking you to ignore whatever the person has done to you. He isn't asking you to pretend it didn't happen. He doesn't ask you to condone it, to pretend it didn't matter. What God asks you to do is forgive. Give up your grudge. This means to acknowledge how wrong and painful what was done to you, but decide to forgive the person who's done wrong to you. Maybe someone here or someone watching that needs to give up grudges and forgive the grievances they have against someone else. Some of you need to forgive your parents for what they did or didn't do. Some of you need to forgive your children for the same reason. Some of you need to forgive a partner for emotional and physical abuse. Some of you need to give up the grudge you have against someone at work because of the way they made you feel or treated you. Some of you need to give up the grudge that stems from an argument that you had with someone years ago. Yeah, preacher, but you don't know what he said to me. You don't know what she did to me. You don't understand. Some of you maybe even need to give up grudges you have against other people in this congregation. God says that the deep-seated resentment you have against that person has to go. What better time to make that very difficult decision to forgive than the start of this new year? And don't try to tell God you can't forgive, because that's what you really mean is when you won't forgive. If Christ can forgive your sin, despite the fact that it cost Him the pain of the cross, then surely you can give up your grudge and forgive someone else. The question is, will you? Resolve to commit to forget your failures. Resolve to commit to give up your grudges. And the third commitment, restore your relationships. Romans 12:18. It says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. God is personally challenging each one of us to do restore any relationship that we may have gone wrong in our lives. Some relationships might have gone wrong in our lives because of what other people have done. They may not want that relationship restored. And God recognizes that. This is why He starts by saying, if it's possible, in that verse. But let's be honest, some of our relationships have gone wrong because of what we've done. When God's Word says here, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, it is saying if you have caused a rift in a relationship, then you have the responsibility to do everything you can within the power that everything includes. The one thing we all probably find most difficult to do is what? Say, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. And will you forgive me? Some of us need to ask for forgiveness for those harsh words that we may have said or smart remarks that have really wounded somebody. It doesn't matter if it's 10, 20, 30 years ago. Make no mistake, it will be hard to do. I find it hard to say I'm sorry sometimes. But the most significant thing that you can do is mark the new year to admit your past errors in relationships and humbly seek forgiveness from one you may have hurt. Or maybe that to restore a relationship you have to lovingly accept I'm sorry from someone else. In John 20:23, it says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And just remember in Romans 5:10, it says, For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Will you rise to that challenge and make a commitment to restore broken relationships in this year, new year? But before you start trying to restore relationships, you have to just start with your own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you find yourself this morning that your relationship with Jesus is not where it should be, you were given an opportunity this morning to make that right. Resolve to commit to forget your failures. Resolve to commit to give up your grudges. Resolve to commit to restore relationships. My final point this morning, or final commitment, is turn your back on your transgressions. Christ died to set us free. The Holy Spirit has given us the power to be free. But many Christians still choose to sin and commit the same sin over and over and over again. In fact, Proverbs 26:11, it says, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. In Romans 6:12, let us not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. When God says for us to not let sin control the way we live and to not give in to its lustful desires, He is issuing a challenge to turn our backs on the transgressions. In other words, repent. Ask for forgiveness. For most of us, when we are saved, we give up certain sins pretty easily. But there are other things that we know are wrong that we really battle with, maybe on a daily basis. Many of us end up choosing to give into our sins and end up living double lives sometimes. There was an article online by an anonymous pastor that described his battle with his sin, which is pornography, and how he gave into that sin time after time after time, and then was overcome with tremendous guilt. Maybe that's how you lived over the last year or the past few years, constantly feeling defeated by the same old sin. There was a man with a huge growth on his neck. He won't do anything about it. He just learned to live with it. Is that where you are with your sin? You just learned to live with it? You just put up with it? I have to ask you, is your spiritual life crippled because you have learned to live with a particular sin in your life? Do you have a quick temper that you constantly give into? Or maybe a tongue that loves to assassinate other people's characters or wound their feelings? Have you learned to live with a critical judgment attitude that you know is wrong? Is there some other sin that you just keep giving into time and time again? You know, God challenges us to turn our back on that sin, whatever it is. To stop letting it control the way we live. To stop giving into it. Because we have victory over it. God says you are no longer a slave to sin, so don't live like it. There's so many Christians living a defeated life. It's so sad. If you will ask for God's forgiveness for your sin and His power to resist that sin, then this new year can be a new era in your spiritual life. Don't miss this opportunity this morning. Acts 3, verses 19 through 20, it's not on the overhead. It says, "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Isn't that a great promise, church? A time of refreshing? If you repent and turn your back on your transgressions? I don't know about you, but I need refreshing sometimes. It feels great to be refreshed by the Lord. I'm going to ask you, church, will this new year be just a continuation of the same old, same old? Same old failures, same old disappointments, same old ill feelings, same old feelings being no closer to God than you was the day before. Continuation of the old sin, or will you resolve to commit and make a life-changing decision this morning? Are you willing to do that? But church, I have to warn you, you can't do it on your own. In your own strength or in your own way of thinking. Because you're going to keep failing over and over. We've already proven that. We've already proven that we can't do it on our own. That's why we fail. In Zechariah 4:6, it says, "You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." I'm going to ask you to do one thing for me. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment while they're getting ready for an invitation. I'm going to ask you to think about these commitments. Commitment to give up a grudge. The commitment to restore relationships in your life. To repent. To overcome some sin in your life that keeps making you feel defeated and burden you. Whatever it is, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And we'll be glad to pray with you, pray for you. And if you're here this morning, and if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please, I know He's convicting your heart of it. Please quit running. Please keep saying no. Come forward and turn your life over to Him. I guarantee you'll be so glad you did. If you know someone that you need to pray for, now's the opportunity to pray. Pray for that person who comes to the Lord. If you need to commit yourself to this church, if you need to rededicate your life, this morning it's time to do that. If you need to renew your commitment to serving in this church, to be refreshed, this morning is the time. If you're here this morning, if you don't have a church home, if you're searching, if you're visiting, if you'd like to join the church, I'd ask you to come forward and do that, make that decision this morning. The first time my wife and I ever set foot in this church, we felt so welcomed. We felt so loved. It was such an unbelievable feeling that we had when we came. And so sad so many churches have lost that. But not this church. You can feel the Holy Spirit's presence and working in this church. So whatever you need to do to make a commitment this morning, I'm going to ask you to do that. Morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time we spent together. God, I pray if someone's heart is being convicted this morning, God, I pray you give them the courage to act upon it, Lord, just to have them come forward and kneel at your altar and pray. God, I pray that we take these commitments serious. We commit our lives to you wholly and solely. God, we cannot live this life without you. God, just thank you so much for being so merciful and so gracious and so forgiving to us. God, just thank you so much for your patience. I just cannot begin to fathom the amount of patience that you have with us. God, just thank you for this church and what it means in this community and all the ministries that is involved. And all the lives that it's touched over the years. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will stir in a mighty way this morning while we come to the close of the service. And God, just thank you so much for being patient with me.
And thank you so much for being merciful and forgiving to me personally. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his ultimate sacrifice on that old wooden cross, that our sins may be forgiven and may be blotted out and remembered no more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Will you please stand?